Welcome, art lovers, to the SCHS Visual Art Podcast, where we are equipping creative minds to be artists of many styles and disciplines. We feature guest artist talks and other fun things to guide, inspire, and inform the work you make or want to make. I'm Tucker Webb, but a lot of you listening probably know me as Mr. Webb. Let's check it out. Hey guys, this is episode 22 of the SCHS Visual Art Podcast. This is a special one for many reasons. The first reason is that we're talking to Megan Hildebrand today, which was super fun. Another reason is that this will be the last episode of season one of the SCHS Visual Art Podcast. We'll be taking a break for a little bit, which will give you plenty of time to catch up on those episodes you haven't gotten to yet. Megan Hildebrand is a painter who lives and works on the west coast of Canada. She creates these amazing paintings that combine landscape elements from reality and also almost dreamscape elements. I think that at a glance, a lot of her paintings appear to be abstract layers of color, but as you look and move closer, there are so many fascinating details that open up a whole other layer within the painting. She also creates watercolor sketches and does some design work as well. Check out Megan's work before or while listening. You can find her on Instagram at Megan Hildebrand. That's at MEGHANHILDEBRAND or online at meganhildebrand.com. This was recorded live with one of our advanced art classes, so of course you'll hear some students asking some questions throughout. Now, let's get to our chat with Megan Hildebrand. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. I'm really excited to be with you guys.
We are excited to have you. Welcome to Tennessee, USA.
Wow, welcome to Canada.
Thank you. So you told me this the other day, but you're on the west side of Canada, like north of Washington?
Yeah, we are near Vancouver.
Okay, so not too far from the States. So we're in your studio right now, correct?
Yeah, welcome.
We're excited to be here.
Sure, I'd love to pick up my tablet here and I'll give you a little studio tour of the place. And then maybe that will lead you guys to some questions you want to ask.
That sounds amazing. Alrighty?
Okay. This is my first Zoom ever, guys. So this may be a little awkward. I'm going to switch the camera around. There we go.
It's crazy that you've made it a year without having to Zoom somebody.
That's the beauty of being self-employed.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
So this is a space that I rent downtown. I live about six blocks from here. It's a nice big room that's been, I think it was designed to be an artist studio. So it's got the nice high windows and like a real paint sink. So I have all this wall space to use. Okay. What I'm going to do right now is take you outside, show you where I live. See the ocean through those trees there.
Ooh.
And then this is my building. I recently painted the mural on my doors.
Nice.
And this is a mural I just put up. So this is a mural that I change every few months. So it just gives people walking by something to look at.
That's beautiful. Is that something you're putting up and taking down and putting a new one up? You're not painting over it every time?
Yeah, I paint over it every time.
Wow. That's very cool.
It's just a piece of reclaimed plywood.
That's a great idea.
And over here, this is a stack of all my finished, not all of my finished paintings, but some of my finished paintings. I try not to keep too many paintings in the room because it gets a little overwhelming. This is a piece from a couple years ago.
So are you working on anything like in progress right now? Or
yes. So everything I've got on the wall over here is a series that I'm working on that will show this fall. So this is all in the same theme of the coast and kind of like above and below the water.
Oh.
So get in a bit closer here. You can kind of see what's happening under the water surface. So I'm trying to kind of introduce another world below. I've also been doing lots of using masking tape to make these nice little crisp square shapes. So these paintings are a little more based in reality than the stuff I've been doing over the years. If you look at something like this, this is pretty much based in fantasy. It's kind of an imaginary world.
Yeah.
But I really liked, every time I do a new series, I kind of try to reinvent myself. You know, I never want to, you know, do the same kind of work over and over.
Now, when you start a series, are you, do you have like a kind of a plan for how many pieces you'll do and kind of what they are? Or is it just more when it feels right?
Yeah, I'll negotiate with the gallery the number of pieces and the size. And I do all my own canvas stretching. So I make a bunch of canvases. And then I try to start with something really loose. I try not to start with any kind of, with anything decided. I like it to be really open. So once I get some really loose and spontaneous marks down, then it might, the themes kind of might start to emerge. This, the works that I'm doing right now, I did have a way more clear idea of what I wanted for this series. Mm-hmm. So it's always a little bit different.
And you said they're based sort of in reality. Are there like actual specific places that you're using for inspiration?
Yeah, these are from photographs of the coast here. I had one photograph that I took all these paintings from, which was, I guess the closest one is right here. It's this beautiful little boathouse that was perfectly reflected. So I used that as a starting point for this series.
Love that.
There's a different one, different lighting. So they're all kind of invented, but these are based on a real place.
So Megan, if you meet somebody on an elevator somewhere and they know nothing about art, how would you describe the work that you make to them?
Well, I would tell them that it's kind of based in landscape, but mm-hmm. all my kind of fantasies and memories are kind of folded in as well. I'm not sure what the label would be. I mean, abstract is pretty wide open, and I haven't actually found a good tag for my work. But I think a lot of it is really informed by like the books, the childhood books that my mom picked out for me. Like I love hidden worlds. I love when there's like a little doorway or window that invites you inside and makes you wonder what it's like to be in that place.
Yeah.
So I would just call it abstract landscape, I guess. Well, I get pretty lost in the language of paintings. It's hard to put a visual language into words, isn't it?
Well, and you don't want to put yourself in a box either, but it's like sometimes you kind of have to have the vocabulary to tell people what you do. Before we got on the call, we were looking at some of your work, and that's kind of how I described it. I think it was like at a glance, it almost looks like an abstract painting, but then you move forward and it's like this colorful landscape. A lot of the work anyway, but are there specific children's books that you're thinking of, like that really inspired you?
Yeah, there was one called The Rainbow Goblins by Alderico. There was an amazing one that's hard to get now that's called Need a House? Call Ms. Mouse. And it's this amazing mouse female architect that designed homes for all the different animals. And it did like a cross-section of the homes she designed. Just wonderful. There's one called Norbert Mipkin. And they are all just beautifully, beautifully illustrated.
Yeah.
I think that really laid a lot of influence for me.
That's amazing. Well, what was your kind of like path, your journey from reading those books until now being a working artist? Like, were you artistic in high school? Did you go to college? I know you went to college for it. You want to talk about that, kind of your journey through?
For sure. My mom was a single mom and an artist, and she was just kind of a jack of all trades kind of artist, doing whatever it would take kind of to make the rent. She did like calligraphy and landscape painting, sign painting, like window painting around the holidays. And so I always had access to materials, and she always encouraged me and told me that I was doing great at it. So I always saw myself as an artist.
Yeah.
So that was, I've always seen myself that way. And yeah, in school, I was always more interested in the title page than the report. And I really flew with that. And then I also followed my mom's footsteps to the same art school she went to. That was in a small town called Nelson. And it was kind of an art school as well as a trade school. So they really focused on the career of the artist, you know, kind of how to make it work, you know, professional practices, stretching canvases, you know, learning a lot of the business of it.
I feel like that's amazing. We were actually just talking about that as well before, is like, sometimes you go to college and you learn how to do the thing really well, but you don't know how to do it and make a living with it. And
yeah,
that's amazing, because I've known a lot of, you know, art schools to be amazing at like teaching you the artistic creative choices and things like that, but not, you know, you don't know what to do with it once you get out into the world. So that's really cool.
Yeah. And they told us to expect hard work. You know, I'm doing what I love, but you know, I'm working 6 days a week. And even if I don't feel like painting, I still show up and try. Sometimes the process is just sitting here and waiting till I feel ready, but I gotta show up. And I've kind of explored other ways of getting my work out there. I've done a bunch of graphic art as well. I've got a little pile of stuff here I can show you if you're interested in that, and all the little kind of side hustles I do to hold this all together.
I would love to, I think we'd love to see that. Because one thing, you know, that we talk about a lot is like, it is amazing to hear artists and their process, but it's also interesting to hear how they make a living doing what they do. So knowing those side hustles is, I think, important.
So I've done quite a few festival posters. So I'll kind of blaze through my festival poster pile here. That's one in Texas.
Nice.
I love lettering too. So that lets me explore that. This is for a local beer.
Not for you kids.
That's our fairy.
So are these paintings, or are they digital? Like, how are you making these, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Well, this one has got like one of my drawings in it, but then it's all created in Photoshop or Illustrator. Okay. So I've done these drawings digitally. This one started with a painting. Get it all in there.
Love
that. And then I was able to add the lettering on top in Adobe Illustrator. Mm-hmm. Another festival poster. So the original painting is on top, and then I've done all the typesetting on the bottom. And then when I'm not able to be in the studio, out and about in the world, I take my watercolor kit with me. So I'm often doing sketches too. I've got some of those. This is kind of like a quick sketch of a cute cabin.
Yeah.
I grew up in a trailer, so I've got kind of a romantic weakness for cute trailers.
Yeah. Now, these sketches that you're doing, will those like inform future paintings, or are they kind of their own, artistic endeavor on their own?
Yeah, good question. These are just their own little thing, I think. Yeah. A little dock scene. These just kind of keep my drawing skills tight.
These guys are probably sick and tired of hearing me talk about like your voice as an artist, but I feel like the paintings that you have, and then the posters that you just showed, and these watercolors that you're showing, they're all so different, like such different things, but you can tell that all of them were made by the same person.
You can?
Yeah. Have you always kind of had that same like style and voice, or has that been something that's been developed over time? Like, if you look at your oldest work, is it kind of a little more all over the place, or is it still kind of fit together?
Yeah. When I came out of high school, I had good drawing skills, but I was just really good at copying stuff that I saw. Like, I didn't know what my voice was or what I was interested in drawing. And I can actually trace it back to a particular design assignment in art school, when she said to, like, to go interior and draw the thing that comes out naturally. I think the assignment was like, draw what it is that you doodle when you're talking to a friend on the phone, and then expand on that. And for me, it was just this very simple kind of soft edged square, almost like a little TV square with buttons. And I was able to just explode that one little shape into, wish I had it right here with me. That kind of evolved into what became my visual language. Just kind of the thing that comes through naturally.
I think that's a great way to look at it. I mean, I think it's a lot of times, especially in like a high school art setting, it's tempting to like, only make things that will be like impressive or look finished. And there's not a lot of room for like exploration like that. So it's cool. That's an interesting way to look at it. I'll encourage these guys to try that.
Color theory class really opened me up too. Like, I knew that I loved color, but I didn't know how to use it or what kind of power it could have.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing the color wheel, and I'm going to switch my camera around here. Doing stuff like this. It's a color discord chart. It's learning how to mix those colors and learning how colors affect each other really kind of turned me on to painting.
Yeah.
With some other, oh, and I'll make these little stuffed animals too. So even when I'm at home, I'm keeping my hands busy.
That's amazing. He looks like somebody out of a children's book.
Oh yeah, like Where the Wild Things Are, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
He was approached by a soap company to do their wrappers. So they've taken my painting and wrapped soap in it. And then I got paid in soap, so I've got gifts for life to give. Often the gallery will produce a catalog when I produce a series for them. So I've got this great little library of writings and records of my work. That's great.
Well, Megan, yeah. I've got 100 more questions, but I'm going to open it up real quick for student questions, if that's okay, before I...
Of course. I ask.
Yeah, you want to come over here? This is Alex. I'm going to have him come over here so that you can hear.
Okay. So it's not really a question, but would you like describe your work as like surreal or like dreamscapey? Because that's what the vibe that it kind of gives me.
Yeah, I think dreamscape is a really good way to describe it, because they're all kind of, they're all my experiences, but then they're just kind of skewed through the filter of my taste. Surreal, I don't quite equate it with surrealism. When I think of surrealism, I can't help but think of like Salvador Dali and the melting watch.
I think he's the poster child of surrealism.
But there is some pretty interesting other stuff out there as far as surrealism goes. But yeah, I think dreamscape is where I would put my work.
What, along the lines of that question, I'm not going to steal from student questions, but I was going to ask along the lines of that was, are there people like throughout art history or even contemporary that you find yourself really inspired by?
Oh yeah. And I keep a little library here of some of my favorites. Like, I really love a Canadian painter called John Hartman, and I love Chagall, and I love the architect Gaudi. Like, I like artists across a lot of different mediums, artists that have a very specific voice and a style, and I can go to them for, if I'm feeling like I don't know where to go, I don't know what to work on, I don't know what next step to take, I look at artists that have a really unique, singular voice.
Yeah. You can always tell a Gaudi from something else.
Yeah.
I'm also a big fan. Okay. Any other student questions at the moment? No, I think we're good for now. I'll write it up on the board. Ask if you had an Instagram, and I'll let them know what that is after this. Megan, what kinds of things are in your like tool belt that you use every day as far as like when you're making art? Like what things can you not live without? Canvas, you said you stretch your own canvases. So what else is around you while you're painting?
Well, I love having music or a podcast going. Music without lyrics is pretty much the best thing to kind of get lost in.
Yeah.
What I love about painting is that, one of the things I love about painting is that when I'm painting, I'm not worrying about anything. You know, my mind just is clear and I'm in the moment. Some background music is really nice. This is my little, I'll show you my painting corner. You can see my tools with easier.
Oh yeah. Your command center.
Yeah. So here, sometimes I'll do some, you know, let's go to the hardware store and get some paint chips and kind of plan a little color family. So this might be kind of one of the steps I take when I'm starting a series. There's one of my older families.
And so when you're doing a series, you're kind of sticking to like a family of like a sort of a color scheme for the series.
At least it's a starting place. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like looking at a palette that like just goes from red to yellow to blue. You know, I like to mix a bunch of colors first. So when I'm faced with a blank canvas, I've got a starting place.
Yeah.
I like having stuff like this around. This keeps me interested.
Are they finger puppets?
Yeah, they're finger puppets.
Amazing.
Got this great unit here where I can keep all my works on paper. Yeah.
And are you using mostly oil paints or acrylic paints or?
I did try oil paints in art school and I found the smell so toxic that I didn't pursue it. And like I was trying to explain before, I love acrylics. Because once they're dry, it's like a plastic surface that you can do anything to.
Yeah.
So with oil paint, you just keep wanting to go back in and can so easily end up with mud. But with the acrylic, you like let it dry and then it's almost like a blank canvas again. You can make mistakes on it, you can pick it up again. I find the acrylic really versatile. Great invention. Yeah. And then these guys are all in watercolor.
Sure, yeah. Your work has so many layers in it, it seems like that it kind of like some things kind of sit on top of other things. So it makes sense to have like the drying time be a little less. Otherwise it'll blend a little bit more.
Definitely. Definitely. And nothing's written in stone. You don't like it, you can just paint right over it. Or even a lot of my paintings are on wood, so I can sand off the last layer and kind of start over again.
Yeah. Megan, do you have any advice on like, because, you know, these guys are taking art classes in high school and they're kind of exposed to a lot of different media and style and so they're experimenting with different techniques and some of them are, you know, into painting and some of them are into printmaking and some of them are into ceramics. Do you have any advice on like students choosing a path or did you always know that you were a painter and you always loved to paint and that was kind of all you had an interest in?
No, I didn't know. And I was lucky that in my foundation year of art school, it was required that you take a semester of every studio.
Yeah.
So I was pretty strongly pulled in the direction of ceramics. And I was really loving that. But the practical advice I was receiving was that it would just be really, really, really hard to make any money doing ceramics, and there's a bit more room to grow in painting. But I still keep a little sideline of ceramics. But I do it for fun. I'm not counting on that for income.
Yeah.
Everyone in school that year seemed to figure out what they were drawn to, but often they had they weren't the classes they would have signed up for. So if you can, yeah, dip your toe in it and try everything, like that's a really, really good path.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And that's, I hope that comes across whenever we, you know, because we try to expose them to different things and, I don't know, push them outside of their comfort zone a little bit sometimes. So let's see. What is your day-to-day? You said you work 6 days a week. What does your day-to-day look like? Like, because you are self-employed, I imagine that somewhere in the week or in the month or something, you have to do some admin work, answer emails, yeah, from others and stuff. Do you have a pretty consistent schedule, or are you just kind of going in every day and seeing what needs to be done?
Yeah, the weekend is pretty non-existent, and this is, I like being here for fun. So I'm at the studio almost every day, but I do need to take about one day out a week to stay home, be on the computer, be doing the newsletters and be doing the documentation, like getting good photographs of all my work so I can upload that to my website, and keeping in touch with the galleries. So there's about one day a week where I don't get to paint. I've got to do the business end.
Yeah.
But I get down here at about 9 a.m. It's like a 3-minute downhill shot on my bike. And I have a little kitchen here, so I got a little lunch on the go, and I can be here till about 5 every day. And like I said, sometimes I just spend the day in my chair, you know, scrolling. And it takes a couple hours to kind of get for the painting to really get rolling.
Yeah.
So I really need to kind of devote a whole day to being here to really start to get productive.
Yeah.
I've only had the studio space for a couple of years. Before that, I spent about 20 years working out of my house, which I thought was fine until I got this space. And since I got this space, I've been so much happier and so much more productive. And I can get so much done in an hour here as opposed to at home. So if it's possible to have a dedicated space, that's really what made it work for me.
Yeah.
And this feels like my life goal, like having a studio is kind of all I ever wanted. So everything else is kind of icing on top of this.
It's a great way to look at it. So you're on the west side of Canada, and we're in Tennessee, sort of east-ish of in the US. Would you say that like location is important to your practice, or do you think that you can do what you do anywhere? Does that make sense? Kind of a
yeah, strange. That's a really good question. Like when I was going to art school, I thought that I would have to go to New York or to go to a city to kind of make this thing happen. But I quickly realized that what I needed to do was keep my expenses down. So I chose a really small town that's inexpensive. My husband and I decided not to have a family. We don't drive. So there's a bunch of stuff that we had to give up so I could pursue this. I'm really glad that we live on the coast, because a lot of the inspiration I'm getting now is from getting out here on the water and living somewhere beautiful with like trees and mountains. I can, well, hopefully someday go to the city and go to the galleries and the museums when I need to. But for my creative process, I like being in a small town with low pressure, low expenses. Yeah, I mean, it's not a money path. It's a happiness path, but it's been some hard choices to make.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you made the right choices for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. This is kind of switching gears a little bit and jumping around, but I was wondering, so you're represented by a gallery. Does the gallery decide pricing and those sorts of things, or is that something that you have to kind of help with?
Yeah, I decide my pricing, and the gallery takes their cut. they are really helpful to help me to know where my work is at in comparison to other artists with the same amount of experience or the same exposure. But it's up to me what I charge. And if I'm selling the painting to someone out of my studio, or if the gallery is selling it, it's got to be the same price across the board. Mm-hmm. So even though the gallery will typically take 50%, we have to charge the same amount.
Yeah. And so how do you decide, like, it seems like that would be such a hard decision, is like knowing how to put a quantity on your work. Has that been a process figuring out how that works, or has it always, do you have an outlook on that that you can share?
Yeah, I've got it figured out now. It goes by size. It's kind of like a formula where you add the width to the height and then you multiply it by a certain number. For me, that number is, for example, 45. And so every year or so, that number goes up by one. So every year, the value of your work goes up 2 or 3% across the board. So the gallery brings the prices up, I bring the prices up, but quite slowly. Yeah. And so now that I'm locked into that formula, I just go straight up by size. I know other artists who like to price their work emotionally. Like, I spent a ton of time on this, or this one means a lot to me, so they're charging more for that. I try to steer clear of that and just keep the simple formula, regardless of how long the painting took or how successful I think it is.
Yeah.
Straight up size formula.
And so it probably took a while to figure that out, but once you figured it out, it's almost like nice because you don't have to think about it as much. It's just like a formula every time.
Yeah.
That's great. I like that answer a lot. So whenever you're, you said that you have series of work, and we kind of looked at some of the series before this. And so you're constantly sort of changing, you know, through different seasons and going into different series and things like that. How do you like approach change as an artist? Because you can't make the same painting over and over again, but if you change too much, then maybe the people that like your work, I don't know, not necessarily that they won't like it, but there's, you know, you want it to feel like you. Do you have any thoughts on that? Has it been a more organic process changing?
I guess it's pretty organic. I do worry about, you know, leaving my fans and collectors in the dust if I, you know, take too hard of a left turn. And, yeah. Often what I'll see happen is I'll introduce a new body of work, and then people will pick up on the previous body of work.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll kind of realize that the stuff they liked happened, it's not going to happen again, and they'll maybe lock into the work before.
Okay.
But I like to keep my collectors interested. So it's really important to me to keep changing.
Yeah.
And it's way more interesting for me to keep it changing.
I agree. I'm going to open it up one more time for questions. Sometimes they go silent whenever we're talking to strangers, but any questions? Yeah. This is Victor. He's got a question. I'm going to have him come up.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, Victor.
So my question is, with art, you draw what speaks to you. So did you have trouble with others relating to your art?
That's such an interesting question. You know, I don't know the answer to that. It has been such a great way to be able to open up conversations with people. I think it's just... It just opens ideas and relationships. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure how to answer that. Good question. I love, you know, if I'm ever having an art opening, my favorite thing to do is just kind of quietly wander around and try to eavesdrop on what other people are seeing. And often they see something completely different than what I see or what I intended. And I love that. I love when someone sees something that never would have occurred to me. And I like my paintings to be open like that. They're, none of them are something, none of them are specific to anything. And I'm really hoping that they open up to each person on an individual basis based on what you've experienced. I'm really careful when I add titles as well. I try to use titles that open the painting. You know, I try to tell people what they're seeing, but to open them up.
I love that. I think you just touched on kind of what is why visual art or art in general is just so important in a lot of ways, is because of how it speaks to different people differently.
Yeah.
That's great. Megan, what re-energizes you as an artist, like creatively, when you're feeling stuck? Is there something that makes you kind of feel it again?
Yes, walking in the woods or getting on a boat, taking pictures. Yeah, being outside is what re-energizes me. You know, I could really use a visit to a museum, because that really helps too, you know, just to get some fresh input. That really helps a lot too. Yeah. Switching mediums, taking a break. A friend said, when I was feeling stuck and frustrated, she said to me, you know, flower doesn't bloom all year. So it is really important to refill that creative web. So when I am painting, I've got the energy.
Yeah, I love that flower analogy, metaphor.
Yeah, so I keep showing up. Nothing good always doesn't come out every day, but just keep showing up.
Yeah. Well, along those lines, I really enjoy your work. And it, like when we were looking at your work before the call, it seemed like a lot of these guys really enjoyed your work. And I you know, we think that you're very good at what you do. Why is why do you think you are good at what you do? Is it like mostly hard work? Are there other things at play besides just working hard at it?
Well, I think that my mom's encouragement and my mom telling me that I was good at it and me believing it has really given me, you know, the boost that I needed. I've got a good work ethic because I love being here. You know, there's nowhere else that I want to be. So I've just, I've fallen into something that I love to do. And I don't like the alternative. You know, I don't want to get a job. So I will just push as hard as I have to keep doing this.
Yeah. Well, I hope that you'll be able to do it as long as you possibly can. Does anybody have any last questions for me? Megan, I want to be respectful of your time, but do you mind if I ask three just quick speed round questions?
I don't mind.
Before you go. Let's see. Do you have anything coming up or not coming up, but you would like for it to come up that is maybe different than what you've done in the past? Is there anything that you're wanting to try?
I am really interested in working collaboratively with other artists. I have a couple of girlfriends. My friend Zoe is a sound engineer, and my other friend Janet is a professional in youth and child development. Mm-hmm. And the three of us were really trying to work together on some sort of art installation that brings together all of our skills. I work alone all the time, and the idea of collaborating is something that I fear a little bit. So that's something that I want to create work with other people that is successful. This last year and a half, you know, with the pandemic has been kind of an interesting time for me. Because last January I had my first ever international show, and that was just at the beginning of COVID. So I just kind of thought like, wow, you know, this is my big break. And then it all kind of came back in. I had no deadlines. So I was kind of forced to look inside myself instead of just responding to deadlines and kind of work on ideas that were kind of just simmering on the back burner. And that kind of led me into this more lifelike work on the coast. That I think the break has actually had some benefits for my practice. You know, it's been stressful, but it's led me in some interesting new directions.
Yeah. Well, for what it's worth, I want to encourage you to do the collaborative work that you would like to do. So I don't know whatever that means.
Yeah, I don't know what it means either. It's going to be something that hasn't been done before.
That's great, though. That's how you keep things interesting.
Yeah.
Do you have a definition of art? Or
no.
There's no right answer.
I think about that, but I have not. Do you?
Well, I wanted to hear your answer.
It is something that reflects an individual, the human experience that we can all experience in a different way. But it's so funny how hard it is to put a finger on a definition. What about any of your students? Like,
you guys have a definition for it?
Creative intent.
Creative intent was one that we
yeah.
Had. Anybody else have one? What is it? We had one that said, the only thing I'm good at.
Yeah, I mean, it's a documentation. It's a documentation of our feelings and our life. But it could take so many forms. It's so exciting. It's huge. It's huge, and I can't explain it. And it's my life.
I think if there were one definition for art, that it would probably be a lot less interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's because it is different for different people. And I think sometimes that creating art might be one definition, and experiencing art might be completely different. Like, we might do those things for different reasons. So
yeah.
I don't know. But you, all that being said, you had the right answer. What you said was the right answer.
Your class looks great. I wish I could be there working on mugs with you guys.
Just without boring you to death about it, a lot of these guys are seniors that are in here. And so they'll be graduating in 2 weeks, or is it less than 2 weeks? It's 2 weeks today.
Oh my God. Congratulations.
Next week is not really a real week. Like, they have some kind of fun activities and things planned. So this is really actually the last regular day of school for the year.
Woohoo!
For guys. Yeah. So some of them are finishing some things up before they leave. But yeah, it's fun. If you ever find yourself in Tennessee one day, you're more than welcome to come by.
Thank you.
Maybe we could do
is
this.
Is anybody there planning to pursue art?
Yeah, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4.
Wow.
5.5 hands that are up right now. And more, yeah, a couple in the other. We have another art room in this door that you can see here. So we have some more over there that are definitely going to pursue it in some way, whatever that means.
Well, I'd love to invite you all to stay in touch with me. You can send me an email on them. Happy to get back to you if you have any thoughts or advice you're looking for.
That's amazing. It's very kind. All right, last question, and then we'll let you go, Megan. If you could go back to 16 or 17-year-old Megan, go back in time and tell yourself a piece of advice to help you through your artistic journey or path, what do you think it would be?
I guess I would say just produce tons. Yeah, if you have an idea for one painting, do 5 of them. Like, you got to fully explore your ideas. And it's not, you're not going to do one genius painting that's going to, you know, get you on the map. It's going to be a ton of work, but it's going to be really fun. I think I knew that though. Gosh.
Just because you know something at 16 or 17 doesn't mean that you know it. Like, the, you know, so I think that's great advice. that a lot
yeah,
of
yeah make lots and lots of art, because you'll surprise yourself.
Yeah,
you'll draw the same thing 5 times and it'll be different every time.
That's amazing. Well, Megan, I hope that this was a successful first Zoom call. I know we had a bumpy start there, but it's been pretty normal after that.
Great. I loved it. I'm really honored to be in your class, you guys. Thank you.
Well, we also feel honored to have you here, and just, you know, I feel like we learned a lot. So we appreciate it. Appreciate you being here and taking an hour out of your day.
You're so welcome.
All right. Well, I hope you have a wonderful year and that things get back to some semblance of normal soon.
Yeah. Congratulations, students.
They said thanks. All right. Bye, man. Have a great day.
Bye. Have a great day.
Such an amazing conversation with Megan Hildebrand. Thank you so much to Megan. I thought what she had to say was so inspiring and insightful. It was a fun chat. Don't forget to check out Megan's work on Instagram at Megan Hildebrand or online at meganhildebrand.com. As always, thank you for listening, not only to this episode, but to all of our episodes in season one. I also want to say one more huge thank you to all of our amazing artists and creative people who we've talked to throughout these 22 episodes. Don't forget to go back and check out any episodes you may have missed, and stay tuned for more to come in the future. If you have any questions or have any artist suggestions for the next season of this podcast, you can email at schsvisualart@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at schsvisualart. Until next time, keep creating.